for that privilege to be back here with you. And it's good to see all of you. It's good to see the Jones family's newest addition. And since the last time we were here, and that's a blessing. The hair bow is as big as the head at this point. And so that's a great joy. And then out of all the times we've ever been here, Brother Bryant and Miss Priscilla have not been here, but it's good to see them here tonight, and we appreciate them. He and Miss Priscilla have been a real blessing to our family through the years. I guess probably known him since about, not as long as you all have known him, but in the time I've known him, they've been a real blessing to us. And so we love them and appreciate them and are glad that they're here in the service tonight. All right, I'm going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation, chapter number 4. And I'll begin reading here in verse number 1. I guess I'll just read one verse for now. We'll probably deal with the majority of the chapter here in the service tonight. And we'll accomplish that without holding you too late this evening, I trust. But we'll read Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Our Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I want to thank you for your people and for this church. Thank you for Brother Ledbetter and his labor here. I pray that you would bless them as they're away on their trip. And Father, I pray now that you would speak to us. Help us to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the churches here in this service tonight. I pray that the will of God would be done, that you would give comfort unto your people. I pray that you would convict us, correct us, draw us, and help us after that we leave here tonight to have a closer walk with Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first two words of Revelation chapter number 4 are the words "after this." And so when we look at "after this," we have to look back and see what is it that we're looking at being after. And the previous two chapters of Revelation, chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, are dealing with the church. There are seven letters, as you know, tonight to the book, or in the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 and 3, there are seven churches that Christ addresses and writes a letter to through the pen of John. And so in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, you find the age of the church age, and that is our present time. And the church at Ephesus, it was a declining church, a church that was not what it used to be, and the Lord calls them to repent and do the first works because they had left their first love. And so they are a church in decline. And I think it's somewhere around 36 years from the time that Paul writes the letter to the church at Ephesus, or the saints at Ephesus, till the time that John writes that letter in Revelation 2. Isn't it amazing how fast, in just less than a generation's time, that a church can go from being a strong church to a church that has declined and have left their first love? And so you find a declining church. And then the church at Smyrna was a dependable church. That church that that endured through hardship of persecution and the dark age. And then the church at Pergamos was a church that was defiled. They had married up with wickedness and idolatry and worldliness. And then that church at Thyatira was a defiant church. And then the church at Sardis was a dead church. They had a name that they lived, but they were dead. And then you have the church at Philadelphia. It was a dedicated church. Amen. A church that had no rebuke from the Lord Jesus in all that he had to say. There are only two churches that the Lord did not rebuke was the church at Philadelphia and the church at Smyrna. And then you have that last days church, that Laodicean church, and they were a deceived church. And they believed that because they had things, because they had they were rich and increased with goods, that they didn't need anything from God. And they believed that everything that they had was an indicator of their well-being with the Lord. But instead of that, the Lord tells them that they need to buy of him gold tried in the fire, and that they need to anoint their eyes with eye salve that they could see exactly where they are. And so that church at Laodicea needed to repent as well. And we can see, and I'm not really dealing with Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 tonight, but you can take and look through those in a prophetical sense. You can see where those different churches have a space and time in the last 2,000 years that would characterize certain aspects of the church. And that's why we say we're in the Laodicean church time. And you can look at it in a prophetical sense. You can look at it in a practical sense. That is, what do these different various messages mean to me? And how can I apply that to my life and their message? And it is a surely something we could apply to in each of our homes and our families and our personal churches. And so, but then we come to really where I want to get to, and that is in Revelation chapter number 4. So he says, after this, after the church, after the period where God is working through the church, what's going to come after that time? There's going to be an event that would close the chapter on the age of the church and usher in a new chapter, a new dispensation, a new period of time on the earth. And that event is described in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. So after this, that's after the church, John said, I looked, and behold, the door opened in heaven, and it was, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Amen. And so this verse describes the call or the summons of the Lord Jesus to his bride. The calling out of the remnant. The rapture of the church, when the bride of Christ will be called out to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And the Lord Jesus in the scriptures, you'll find at least three times that he shouts. And I like shouting, don't you? Sometimes I wish I could shout better than I do. But there's three times at least that you'll find in the scriptures that the Lord shouts. And the first time that you'll find it is in John chapter number 11. Whenever the Bible says in John 11 that he cried with a loud voice and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And when the Lord shouted those words, one man came out of the tomb. Amen. And his name was Lazarus. And then the second time that you'll find the Lord shouting in the scriptures, he's hanging on a cross. Amen. And in Matthew chapter number 27, Verse number 50, the Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open. And many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so you find the first time Jesus shouts, he cries with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the second time the Lord shouts, the Bible tells us that his shout were these words, it is finished. Amen. And whenever he cried with a shout from Calvary, many of the graves were opened. Amen. And came out of their tombs. But there's coming yet one more shout. Amen. For 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And so the next time the Lord shouts, it won't be one that gets out. It won't be many that gets out of the grave. But no, it's going to be all of us that have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord once more will shout and the saints will rise. Amen. Hallelujah tonight. And so the first time he shouted, he had some words to put with it. He said, Lazarus, come forth. The second time, the words he put with it were, it is finished. But the next time he shouts, the Lord's going to have some more words to put with it. And that is in Revelation chapter number 4 and our verse in verse number 1. When the Lord shouts the next time, it'll be these three words again. It'll be these words, come up hither. Amen. And the Lord will shout and the church will rise to his summons when he says, come up hither. Amen. That is when he said in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And when he says, come hither, that means leave where you are and come to where I'm at. Amen. And forever we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Bless his name tonight. And so I want to preach on this subject tonight, on when we all get to heaven. Amen. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen. We'll sing together. We'll shout together. We'll enjoy the company of each other in fellowship with no schism in the body, no division in the bride. Amen. We'll enjoy the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll enjoy his presence. Amen. And so here in chapter number 4, you find the Lord calling the church out. And then you find the summons of the bride. And then you find the scene whenever we arrive in heaven. What is the scenery like our first day in heaven? Amen. Because that's what Revelation 4 is. It's our first day over yonder. Amen. And by the way, there's many that are going out now. They're going out one by one. But one day we're going to all go up together. Amen. We'll all be called up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this mortal will put on immortality. This vile body will be changed. Amen. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And then will be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? We'll gather in with the saints of God of all the ages. Amen. And be gathered in the presence of God. Hallelujah tonight. And so what is it like when we get there? Well, here's what John said. There's some things that I saw, and I saw them immediately, John said. Verse number 1, the Bible says, come up hither and I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. Verse number 2, John said, immediately I was in the Spirit. Hey, there wasn't a time in between the call of the Lord and the time that John would be in heaven viewing the Lord Jesus. Amen. It was immediate, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He said, I was in the Spirit. And here's the scene. He said, behold, a throne was set in heaven. Amen. The first thing that stood out to John, it wasn't the sea, it wasn't the trees, it wasn't the streets, it was the throne. Amen. It was the place where the Lord Jesus would dwell. Amen. It was the position that the Lord Jesus held. That is, that He is Lord. He's Almighty. He's in charge. Amen. He's the center of attraction. He is the central focus. He has the preeminence. Amen. Everything all surrounds in heaven on our first day. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He said, I saw the throne. That is His position. And you know, a lot of our songs are, they're encouraging, but they're just wrong doctrinally. Amen. Hey, I heard the other day that song, I'd heard about it before, but I heard it on the radio. It said, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. That don't do much for me. Amen. I'm going in first class. Amen. The Lord Jesus has been better to me than I have ever been to Him. Jesus has taken good care of me and my family on this journey. I've got no sad story. God has been good, and I'm on my way to see Him. Amen. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. And anyways, that ain't the song I was thinking about, but it preached all right. Amen. But anyways, a lot of our songs are, you know, they're comforting, I guess, but they're just wrong. When we get to heaven, all we're going to be worried about is Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And He is the center focus, and His position is on the throne. And so John said this. He said, I saw in verse number 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And then it wasn't just the throne. It wasn't just the seat. It was the one that sat on the throne. Amen. That is Jesus Christ. And so He begins to soak in. John had already seen Him up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he had already seen some of His glory break through the veil of the flesh of Christ, and he'd already seen a portion of the glory of God revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration, but it put him to sleep. Amen. But on this day, he sees the glory of God manifested without reserve. And he beholds the face of Jesus Christ in all of His glory and all of His power. Amen. So he tries his best with mortal words through the power of the Holy Ghost to pass it on to us. And he says in verse number 3, he that sat on the throne was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. I'd like to stop right there just a second. If you were to go out to the flattest place in this country, maybe out in Oklahoma or Kansas, and you was to see a rainbow out in those plains, you'd see it start over here on the horizon, and you'd see it go up, and you'd see it come back over here, and you'd see it stop on the horizon. But the Bible says about the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said there was a rainbow round about the throne. Amen. That is, it's not half of it. It's the whole thing. Amen. Hey, the half has not been told of the Lord Jesus yet. Amen. And so, and then the Bible says it was like unto an emerald.
And the word and the color emerald is green. Amen. Speaking of life. And so you can find a place to get on in that circle, in that bow round about the throne. You'll find a place to start, but you won't find a place to stop. Amen. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. You'll find a place to get on, but you won't ever find a place where the life in Christ stops. Hallelujah. Amen. And the theme in heaven is the Lord Jesus and the life that He has imparted unto us. Amen. We don't have half a life. We've got eternal life. And it's all surrounded in the Lord Jesus. Amen. God is focusing John's attention. He said, look here. He's the one that you ought to focus on. He's the one in whom life is. Amen. It is in Christ. And then in verse number 4, the Bible says, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And I saw 24 elders clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. These 24 elders are the church, amen. It's the saints of God. And apparently we've already been by the judgment seat of Christ because we've got some crowns there upon our heads. And so there apparently is going to be an immediate trip to the judgment seat of Christ, the award ceremony of the saints. Amen. Not being judged on our sins because our sins have all been taken into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and been paid in full. Amen. But we'll be judged on our service, on the race that we've run for the Lord Jesus, and He'll give us crowns. And on that day, John saw the bride of Christ wearing the crowns they've received at the judgment seat. Amen. And here's the saints of God. I wonder if John saw you there. Amen. Did John see you sitting up there with all the saints? Amen. I know I'm there. Amen. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then the Bible says in verse number 5, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering. I'm talking about what it's going to look like when we get there. Amen. When we all get to heaven. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And so the Bible tells us about the throne, the one that sat on the throne, and then the ones around the throne. And so the ones that are around the throne are the bride of Christ. And then also these 4 beasts. And the Bible says here that in description of these beasts, the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast like unto a calf, and the third beast had the faces of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Amen. And these, I believe, represent the 4 gospels of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The first beast was like a lion, and Matthew portrays the Lord Jesus as the King of the Jews. Amen. And then the second, like unto a calf. And the gospel of Mark portrays the Lord Jesus as the servant. Amen. And then the third beast, the face of a man. Luke portraying the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. And then the fourth, like unto an eagle, as John portrays the Lord Jesus as the Son of God in His deity. Amen. And so here are these 4 beasts. But notice what they're doing. They are full of eyes. I tell you, I was studying this on Sunday afternoon and God just overflowed my soul thinking about it. Amen. Or Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon. I don't remember when it was, but it's still good. Amen. And so here the Bible says in verse number 6, that they had eyes before and behind. They were full of eyes. These four beasts were. So that means that they're able to observe. They're able to take in everything that's going on in front of them, and they're able to take in everything that's going on behind them. Amen. And so representing the Gospels of Christ, here are these four beasts. The Bible said that in verse number 8, they had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And so they are circling the Lord Jesus, flying around the throne, and they've got every perspective you could view the Lord from. Amen. From before and behind. And they're circling the throne of God. And they can only come to one conclusion. Amen. When they've looked the Lord over, they had to say, "Holy, holy, holy." Amen. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, eternity past, eternity future, He is spotless. He's pure. He's holy. He's Almighty God, undefiled, separate from sinners. He is holy. Amen. Hallelujah tonight. And the Bible said they rested not day and night. And I thought about this. If you put me under 24-hour surveillance, you'd find plenty of faults in the first few minutes. Amen. But the Lord Jesus was under surveillance 24/7. They rested not day and night with those eyes beholding Him. And the only conclusion they could come to was He is a pure and spotless Lord of heaven. Amen. A holy God. Hallelujah tonight. That's the theme of heaven. And so they rest not day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Amen. He's always been holy. Amen. As in eternity past, He was holy. When He was here on earth, during His earthly ministry, I'll have to agree with these beasts, and we'll have to agree with Pilate that we could find no fault in Him at all. Amen. And eternity future, you can count on the certainty that Jesus will forever be a holy and righteous God. Amen. Which was and is to come. He's eternally pure. Amen. And so the Bible says here now, this is what's going on when we all get to heaven. Amen. Bible says that the 24 elders, the saints, they get stirred up about that. You start talking about the holiness of God, and that'll stir the saints up. Amen. If they're connected with heaven in any sense, the holiness of God does something for the bride. The Bible says the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns down before the Lord, before the throne, and say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And so the saints hear of the holiness of God, and they realize, we've been sitting up here with these crowns on our head. These aren't due to us. We haven't done anything in comparison with Jesus our Lord. And we take our crowns off. Amen. And we cast them down before the feet of Him who sits on the throne. And we begin with our voice to worship Him. Amen. And the praise of the church, the praise of the saints of God ring out throughout heaven. Amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Amen. For thou hast created all things. Amen. And so we worship him for his creation in verse number 11. There's been plenty of gods that have been worshiped in this earth, but none of them have been creator gods. They've been created gods. Amen. But this God that we worship and will adore throughout the ceaseless ages is the God that created all things for his pleasure. Amen. So we see the summons and the scene, and then we see the shouting. Amen. The saints begin to shout and to worship God. The beasts are crying day and night. Holy, holy, holy. You know, worship is contagious. The beasts are worshiping God, and it stirs up the saints. And then the Bible says in chapter number 5, and the bride is, so the beasts worship, and then the bride worship. And so in verse number 8, look in chapter number 5, verse number 8. The Bible said, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. And so the beast worship, and it rubs off on the saints. And then they start worshiping together in chapter number 5. There's a search. Who's worthy to open this book? Who's worthy to open this title deed to the earth? And then somebody comes, and one of the saints, I don't know, it might have been one of you, one of the elders, amen, come up to John and say, why are you weeping? Weep not. Behold the Lion, the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And so then the beasts begin to worship alongside the saints. And we're singing a song. Amen. We're singing a song, and it's a song about the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the saints begin to shout. The saints begin to sing, and they worship Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus Christ because he was slain on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Amen. Hey, the celebration of the gospel has only began when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. That Jesus died and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. Amen. That will be the theme and celebration on our first day in glory. Hey, there's no other means by which we could arrive in heaven other than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, which he has imputed to our account by faith and repentance in his finished work of redemption. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I guess I was going to do a little Bible study tonight, and I feel like preaching now. Amen. Praise God. We're worshiping because of the cross. Amen. We won't lose sight of Calvary when we leave this world. Amen. They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood
out of every kindred and tongue. Amen. And so tonight, we see that we are worshiping because of the cross. Paul said this, he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have no claim to eternity apart from His cross. Amen. And we'll worship Him there. So you see in heaven when we first get there, you see the beasts. They're the constant worshipers. And it rubs off on the saints. And when the saints see that it rubs off, when the beasts see that it rubs off, they join in with them. And then look in verse number 13. Well, I'll read verse number 12. It's pretty good too. Amen. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Worship ain't going to be in our hearts. Amen. Worship's going to be out loud. I heard enough of that out of dead Baptists. Well, I worship God in my heart. Not when you get to heaven you won't. Amen. Hey, they cried with a loud voice. Amen. I feel good about that tonight. They cried out with a loud voice, He's worthy because He was slain for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto every Lamb, unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. So it starts off with the four beasts. And then it spreads to the 24 elders. And before chapter 5's over, hey, they're all worshiping God. It's contagious. Amen. Every creature's glorifying the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know what them four beasts do? They get real happy about it. Verse number 14, the four beasts said, amen. They looked around at everybody that's now. Hey, they've been doing it day and night forever. They've been circling Him. Hey, even now they're circling the Lord and saying, holy, 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 amen. And then the saints get up there and they cast down their crown. And they say, oh, Lord, You're worthy. And You're worthy for Your creation. You're worthy for Your blood that You shed. And then all the earth chimes in and says, He's worthy. Them four beasts, they sit down. They're satisfied. They say, amen. Hey, you saints that have served God and worshiped God all these years, you're trying to help somebody else. Hey, it's good when you see others join in and you get in with them and say, amen. I'm glad that all of the church is worshiping God because He's worthy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And all that, just our first day home. Hallelujah. And I tell you, our country's in a mess, isn't it? There's trouble on every hand. You look to Washington, you'll find trouble. You look at Nashville, you'll find trouble. You look in Atlanta and everywhere else, you'll find trouble. But I'm telling you, the Bible said, wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. Amen. I can give the saints tonight on the authority of the Scriptures, I can give you some comfort to tell you that Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. And our first day in heaven sure is going to be good. Amen.